What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies back with you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go with that Odyssey app wherever you may be all across the country. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, April 28th, 2025. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Johnny Cake Sawville's here.
Hello, what's up? Hello.
And Jason Bishop.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back alive.
I know. I heard about that.
Myrtle Beach had a mass shooting.
What happened?
I think maybe only one person died. I don't want to minimize that. And it might have been a police officer shooting.
Wasn't the only person who died the shooter? I'm pretty sure.
I saw that like 10 people were wounded.
I saw 11 wounded, one dead, but I thought
police fatally shoot one is what I'm saying.
So the one that died was the one who was shooting the other people.
Yes, I'm the cop killed somebody.
That's your best case scenario. There were a lot of people injured.
Yeah.
But if one person is going to die, it should be the shooter
creating
the
carnage. I don't know Myrtle very well, but that happened on, I think it was North Ocean Boulevard. Was that a road that you were on?
Oh, yeah, I was there two nights.
Is that the main road that goes through town? Or
I think so.
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you, North.
That happened Saturday night, right?
Saturday night. I was only there until, we left Saturday morning.
Yeah, yeah.
We were only there for 3 days.
I'm telling you, you were in South Myrtle. South Myrtle is trifling. North Myrtle is nicer. I was in South Myrtle. Myrtle's trifling.
I mean, yeah, our hotel was really nice, but I will say where that shooting was, we were there at 10 o'clock at night two nights because my kids loved the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the arcade.
I'm 54 years
arcades.
Old. I love an arcade.
Yeah. Playing skee
Come on,
ball.
Let's be honest here.
And they had some goofy old school baseball game, which was like a pinball machine that Dylan loved. It was a little dicey at night.
A little rough.
Felt a little
But I was not there till midnight. I think the shooting happened at midnight.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, stay away from South
Hotel
Myrtle.
Was nice.
Yeah, it's fine.
We went to lunch at Beach Bums.
That was a nice spot. But as soon as I left the condo, I felt like this ain't the greatest place in the world.
Nah. Beach Bum sounds like a spot that Valdez would certainly frequent if he were in any sort of beach town.
Yeah, it was a really nice spot. Yeah. But yeah. There was a shooting at Myrtle Beach.
I didn't even hear
it. But it was the next night.
It was Saturday night?
Yeah. Saturday night.
Saturday night into Sunday morning.
Yeah, I didn't even hear about it.
Saturday night around midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of people were sending me tweets. Hope you're okay. Yeah, we got out of Dodge.
Right. Oh, yeah, good.
It's rough.
Good. No, I had a busy weekend, as you guys know. My guys, Vinny and Joe, were with me. And I thought they were going to come Friday, but they ended up coming early Saturday. They left early Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a 4 o'clock start.
Where'd you pregame?
We went to Circa.
Good.
And I should have called you before.
You should have.
I'm lazy.
You should have called me.
I'm just lazy.
You would have been taken care of.
I know, but we only had a few drinks there, and then we went to the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
The bullpen manager, I got his card.
Got to give him a shout out.
I think his name's Michael. Or he always sees me there, and he just takes care of us. He's so great. It's a lot when Joe says. He pulled him a vodka like tonic or something that he said literally might have been 10 shots.
Right, he just knocked his ass out.
Him pour it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot.
It was unreal.
I mean, that's a pregame, too. That's not like during the game.
He was like, even before he started, he said, I've never seen anything like
this. This is outrageous. I've never seen anything like it. It's crazy.
But we had a great time in the bullpen. And then the weather was a little dicey at the beginning of the game and a little before it.
Yep.
There was
But you were expecting that.
I was, and it was fine. And the game
for the most part, it was fine. Yeah.
But it was a little bit annoying. But we had great seats. A lot of people noticed where we were. I was putting out on Twitter where I think I intentionally sent you a photo of my view.
It was
so
ridiculous.
You could go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just.
I'm going June 14th.
You already locked it up. Yeah.
I locked
it's
it
just
in.
The best experience.
I appreciate
and we have a hookup.
You reached out and asked if I wanted any 50-50 tickets.
Well, the 50-50
lady
was walking around.
Sure.
And I go, Cakes loves this.
I do love it.
And Vinny was like, let's just buy him tickets.
Right.
I go, well, let's at least ask.
Sure.
I take it you didn't win.
No, I said thanks, but no thanks.
You said don't worry about it.
You like to be on site.
Yeah, I like to be there, like right there in the mix. Yeah.
You like touch the tickets.
I like to be there in the mix to buy my losing ticket.
Yeah. Anything to gamble, Vin's in.
Sure,
he was ready to buy you tickets, whatever you wanted.
I was looking for you on the camera, but you're off to the side, so you couldn't.
No, you could see, but especially like when there were lefties.
Okay.
So if there's a lefty at the plate, I'll show you a picture.
So the first base camera, bullpen camera, that's the one you could see.
I guess, because people were sending them to me.
I didn't watch a lot of the game. So
Joe was getting people from New York. Like, his texts were exploding because of the, you know,
the
Mets.
They could see him?
Yeah. But we had a great time. Everybody was awesome. There were a ton of Mets jerseys there.
Saw the loss.
Yes.
I saw the loss.
Because they won.
They won two out of three. Yeah.
Out of three, both times via walk-off.
Well, they still play one more today.
Yeah. And your boys on fire, EB, Dylan Cruz.
No, I know. He's got
one
at least
for three yesterday with the solo home run.
He should have 11-game hitting streak then.
Well, he's hit safely in 11 of his last 12, hitting 364 over that stretch.
No, he was
with
good.
Four home runs.
He's on
three
fire. Bases. In the game I was there, he looks like he's settling in.
I believe
I'm aware of it.
I believe he leads all rookies in runs scored.
Yeah, he's settling in.
Yeah, he's got 12 runs scored in his last 12 games. So.
Yeah, he's on fire.
And again,
what was he hitting about 230?
231.
I don't think you believe it unless you saw it.
About what?
James Wood's nonchalance is like unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Let's say he actually hit second in the day we were there. I can't remember who lead off. Might have been Abrams.
CJ, yeah.
Yeah. So CJ, let's say, gets out. He walks from that little batter circle behind home plate to the home plate. It takes about a minute. I've never seen it. I mean, maybe two. I've never seen anybody walk slower, more. I'm not taking a shot at him. I'm just saying I'm just stunned at his nonchalance.
That's just the way he is.
Just the way he is.
It's the way he's built.
And then, you know, he just takes a ton. He's like Frank Thomas. He takes a ton of pitches.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he'll rip one. You know, I mean, obviously a superstar talent. I've just never seen anybody more nonchalant in my life. It's like,
yeah, he's very
his
chill.
Pulse is like at 50.
Yes.
Isn't Jaden a little like
times.
That?
Who?
Jaden Daniels.
Yeah,
maybe,
kind of.
Maybe, but at least I've seen Jaden at times be a little more animated. I mean,
I think James Wood, when he hits a home run, is animated.
I mean, maybe. You saw the walk off when he took his shirt off, took his jersey off.
Well, they ripped it off him.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
They ripped it off him. I'm telling you, it's the starkest thing you'll see. It's just how nonchalant he is, but obviously Nats are playing, I think, way better than expected, right? So
12-15.
That's great.
Chance to take 3 out of 4 against the best team in baseball currently.
Yeah.
Your overplay is looking
maybe
good.
Maybe not the best team, but the best record. What was that?
Your overplay is looking good.
Oh, it's looking great.
It's looking fantastic.
What is their
Let's
record
go.
Now? Are they
12-15.
13-15.
Oh, I'm sorry, 13-15. Yeah,
with the win.
With the win.
I mean, I'm not going to say anything because I was just about
to
say.
Yeah,
I'm just going to retract what I was about to say.
All right.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to go there.
You shouldn't. Don't go there.
I'll just say I'm confident.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that.
You should be.
I have confidence.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's all.
The two walk off was yesterday was a great comeback. I mean, to be down 7-1.
They were getting bludgeoned and you just come back and win it.
Now, the outcome might have been different if their Mets closer Diaz was actually available and he wasn't, so they put the other kids, Stanek,
in. They just didn't pitch it because he pitched the night before?
Yeah, he was only available for two of the four games.
Uh-huh.
And Stanek came in, and I mean, Stanek throws 100.
Uh-huh.
But, you know,
Diaz throws pretty hard, too. When
Hell
he wants
yeah.
to. He gets the 98.
Hell yeah.
At least he did when I was there.
Yeah.
Well, look, we've got a ton to cover on the show
today. There's a lot
to
cover today. Yep.
A ton. Like, I was back, and I felt like I needed to catch up. Of course, we got the Caps, who are now up 3-1.
Oh, let me hold on.
Go ahead. The Caps game was huge. I tell you,
Caps.
It was looking dicey.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It was, but then they separated themselves at the end.
Well, the Willie hit.
Yeah.
The Willie hit ignited the Caps.
Well, what did I tell you?
Victory.
What did I tell you after the first game when you were asking about guys you want to hate Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah, the guys you want to hate. Yeah.
Josh Anderson
is the guy.
I can't stand him.
He's the guy.
He's an instigator. I want Wilson. And by the way, Friday night, even though they were terrible, was so entertaining. That game was so entertaining to watch, even though the Caps sucked. Okay, but it was entertaining to watch.
I wasn't as entertained as you because I like watching Caps. Dumb,
okay, so but you know why? More. You know why I'm saying?
Sure.
That. Yeah, and Montreal was just instigating the entire game.
Yeah,
but Willie going onto the bench and that. You never see that.
With him doing the crying
You
face.
Never see
oh,
that.
It's great.
You never see fights on the bench. Right.
No.
Ever.
No. At the
but
end
you
of the
often
period.
See him mocking them
oh,
after.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's
his,
a big...
Yeah.
That's what
that's
he does.
This is in his DNA.
Mean, yeah. I thought he literally killed Carrier when he hit him.
Well, Carrier never came back in the game, I don't believe.
Yeah. He basically killed him for the rest of the game, is what he did.
You're glad he's on your squad.
Oh, so happy. Whatever the Caps are paying Tom Wilson, it's not enough. Because he's a one of one.
Yeah,
find me another Tom Wilson in the NHL, a guy who can pot 30 goals in a season, which he did this year, and just strike fear in the hearts of every other team that faces him.
I know.
I mean, that dude is worth every penny and then some.
So we'll be talking about the Caps.
Fun to watch.
They're now up 3-1 with the win. They've always been a good third period team. Comeback win last night to get up 3-1 in the series. Tarik El Bashir, who covers the team for Monumental Sports, he'll join us coming up at 7:25. Mm-hmm. So we've got that to get into. We got the NFL draft to get into. Mm. Commander's draft hall we'll talk about. But coming up next, huge news regarding where the Commanders are going to be playing.
The Commanders?
The Commanders.
He's been on vacation for a week.
Vacation, lack of sleep.
Wakey, wakey.
The Commanders.
RFK, we're going to talk about that next here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. So massive Commanders news. Beyond the draft hall, which we're going to talk about. In the 7 o'clock hour, we'll get into who they picked in the later rounds. I know you guys talked about their first-round pick on Friday. Of course, the draft now is 3 days, so you found out who they took in the second round on Friday evening. And then Saturday, you found out the later picks. But the big news here, D.C., Washington, D.C., and the Commanders will announce today a deal to build the team's next stadium at the RFK Stadium site. Details of the arrangement, which still have to be approved by the D.C. Council, are expected to be announced in just a few hours in a joint news conference with Josh Harris and the mayor, Muriel Bowser. So they're coming to RFK.
The big news to me is I think it's a little of the airs out of this balloon because it's been leaking for a while and people mm-hmm. are kind of been adjusted to the idea.
They were kind
that
of
this
expecting
is,
it. Yeah,
this is where
probably,
it's going to be.
That was the leader in the clubhouse.
It's kind of leaked out.
They were in the red zone.
They were in the red zone and they punched it in. So
that one
great.
Reporter.
Whatever. To me, the big news is the amount of money that they're going to spend. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess part of that is also like inflation. Everything's expensive right now. But I mean, like $3 billion+.
And it looks like $2.5 billion coming out of Josh Harris and the other owner's pockets. Like that is a huge
Very
commitment
unusual.
From the ownership. Because a lot of times they want to try to get as much of the public money as possible. And there will be some taxpayer funds.
Well, they're going to have to make that money up somehow.
They're
gonna
going to make it
towards
up.
This.
They'll get it back.
But for,
believe
I mean, that
ticket
is
prices ain't going to be cheap. They're
right.
going to have
PSLs,
the PSLs.
Of course. But this is a massive commitment from the ownership. That it shows they wanted to be in D.C., D.C. wanted to obviously revitalize that area that's mm-hmm. been laying dormant for so many years now. And now it looks like with the approval of the city council that it's going to happen.
Mayor Bowser was planting the seeds via social media yesterday. Her official Twitter account tweeted about Nats Park.
Mm-hmm.
And she pointed out, in 2006, D.C. made a bold investment of $611 million to build a new stadium on a vacant lot.
Mm-hmm.
Today, mm-hmm. that neighborhood has over 85 restaurants, 6,500 residences, and 5 hotels.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means to the economy.
Mm-hmm. No, there's no doubt. I think it's basically a proven fact. Snyder's talked about it when we've ever had Rick on about mm-hmm. what it does for the local area, that if you build an NFL stadium or Major League ballpark, it's definitely good for the economy. No question about it.
Yep.
It's awesome that it's at that site. I still have the major misgiving about the limited tailgating options that are going to be there. I think that's a huge part of it for a lot of Skins fans. But from a nostalgia perspective, it's great. Going back to the old site, I do think it's without question going to be a dome. Yeah. I'm one of those guys. I kind of have a little of Drab in me in this one sense. You know how Drab would love to have like a baseball field in his backyard? I wouldn't want one in my backyard. But anytime I go by a city and I drive by a stadium, I get kind of giddy.
Drawn to the stadium site.
Yeah, sure. Like, you know, even just like driving to Philly, I tell my daughter, hey, that's where the Eagles play.
Or even driving past Baltimore. You're like, and Camden Yards
it's
right next to each
other. It's just kind of exciting.
Like, yeah.
I was just in Atlanta, and it was my first time seeing the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Mm-hmm. And I was right there. It's pretty cool. You know, when you're in Vegas and you drive by, and these new stadiums are getting cooler and cooler, and with $3 billion... it's going to be an effing cool stadium. Yeah.
Do you get the same feeling when you drive by Fredericksburg? You see where?
The Peanuts?
Yeah.
No, I mean, not quite the same
but
level.
You know what? I will say this. When I would drive by Richmond and I would see their little minor league baseball stadium, I just like stadiums.
It's old.
Just kind of wired that way.
I noticed it the other day.
The spot in Richmond is old.
Yeah.
Been there a long time.
It's not that special. But, you know, that little kid in you gets excited. And these stadiums today, I mean, I can't wait till the first renderings come out. We know it's going to be a dome because they want to have Final Fours and everything.
Fours there, yep.
So, I mean, that's a fait accompli. Let's see
what
they come up with.
That D.C.'s going to have a dome football stadium.
They're going to have a new stadium.
It's going to be wild.
They're going to get the Super Bowl within a few years of the stadium opening. That seems
always
to be the trend.
That way.
So the Super Bowl's coming. Final Fours are probably coming.
Super Bowl will probably be here, I don't know, 2032?
National title game in college football is probably coming at some point. Like, it's a huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
It's massive, especially if you think of it this way. We've been doing this radio show for almost 29 years. I would say about half of it, we've spent time talking about where they were going to end up.
Well, we've been talking about how bad FedEx Field has gotten over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, the place has deteriorated into just...
It is wild
a dump. Now, the new ownership's poured some money into to try to, you know, like, put a Band-Aid on it until they get to the new spot at RFK, because they know they can't just leave it as is, but... I mean, they've needed a new home for a while, and it looks like it's going to be back at the RFK site now.
Yeah.
And probably for a decade, the previous owner and Bruce Allen were trying to get this done. Couldn't do it.
Well, because who wants to get into bed and do business with Dan Snyder?
Well, he was never going to put $2.5 billion of his own money into it.
Because he didn't have $2.5 billion liquid to put into it.
If he could liquidate the entire city and all of their residents... Yeah, he'd do it. But
I truly believe Dan would have had no problems putting that thing anywhere.
Right.
As long as it wasn't paying for it.
Way out there in Manassas.
He would have taken the place that gave him the most public money.
He would have put it anywhere. So in that sense, this is unbelievable. I do think it's going to be totally different. It's not going to be the old creaky outdoor RFK. It's not going to have that vibe. It's going to have the 2020-30 vibe.
Yeah, it's going to be a plush new RFK.
And it's going to be a different crowd. Because you're going to have to save up your ducats to get your ass in that stadium, especially the first few years.
And also, this stadium will have a corporate sponsor from the opening. It's not going to be like Nationals Park, still without a title sponsor.
I'm always amazed, though, that it's not like that much money. Like, it's $10 million, $20 million for the naming rights per year. That doesn't even pay half of a quarterback salary.
But it helps.
I know, but my point is, in the NFL, it doesn't even pay half a good quarterback salary.
Right, true. But it's just like it's a nothing burger that you just like free money raining from heaven.
You just need it. You need that.
I know, but it's like a difference maker.
We should sell the name to the Junks.
Well, I mean, we've said that for a decade.
I don't know why we haven't done that. Let's just sell
the
out
Junks
totally.
The Junks presented by... fill in the blank.
We just completely sell out the downside of our career.
By the way, we are presented by Crop Metcalf.
That is true.
Say we are.
Our text line is presented
to McDonald's Sports Show
by Lido Pizza.
Presented by Lido Pizza and Crop Metcalf.
Yeah, we got to do it like
by
like,
all of them.
Like the Terps used to do it. It used to be like Capital One Field at Maryland Stadium. Like you got to sponsor every little nook and cranny.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this. Let's monetize this.
I do think that the reaction is going to be excitement, but I do think this has kind of leaked over the last few weeks.
Right.
So I think it's going to be a little bit more muted maybe than what some people might think.
It's also so far down the road.
Yeah. 2030.
I mean, in some ways, like when we get to 2030, we're like, man, that was the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
But when you're in 2025 and you're thinking about football seasons, you're going to have 2025, 2026, 2027, 2028, 2029.
Still playing five more years.
Full seasons at FedEx if they actually hit that date and hit the target, which is 2030.
Oh, well, if I'm Josh Harris and company, like, you have shovels in the ground, do all your environmental studies, whatever you need to do. It's going to be on an accelerated timeline. Like, you don't want it to be more than five full seasons once you announce it.
Like, I brought this up before. When was the GW Parkway project supposed to be done?
Man, that's,
I just don't know.
2045?
Yeah, I mean, don't know. I thought that thing was going to be done in
a
year.
I drive in that and I look at it, I'm like, they're never going to finish this. I just look around all the cones, all the heavy equipment.
They're constantly rerouting you. I got in a lane today.
Usually there's a couple of splits, and I'll usually go to the left. Today I went to the right, and all of a sudden I had a stop sign.
I mean, I've never felt more like I'm in a real-life Mario Kart than when I'm driving on the G-Dub Parkway. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is insane.
Got to nail it between the Jersey walls.
Oh, yeah. You better be paying attention.
I mean, I'm definitely worried about just, like, scraping the right side of my car at some point.
Well, as long as there's no major hurdles within the city, you know, the D.C. City Council, you know, voting against it and putting it on the back burner again, it should. I feel like stadiums always get built.
What would their beef be?
I don't know.
Guy's going to pay for, you know, those guys that own the team are going to front the money.
I would think that would get it done, yeah.
I mean, we're going to ultimately pay for it as fans, but they're going to front the money, you know.
Hey, it's a big feather in the cap for Mayor Bowser. Got the control of the 174 acres because DC didn't have control. They got control. And now it looks like they're going to build the stadium
at RFK.
She's
the queen of sports, man. I mean, you got to give her that title. Like, she kept the Caps and Wizards in D.C., prevented them from moving to Virginia, and she's getting the Commanders to come back to the RFK site under her watch.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of an L for your boy, Wes Moore.
Oh, he's definitely taking an L this morning.
That's an L for him.
He's not happy.
I mean, there's only so much you could do. I mean, the sentiment from the ownership and the fans was to come to D.C.
I mean, what's he going to do with all that land out at FedEx Field? I have no idea. Yeah. Is that still owned by Josh Harrison Company?
Yeah, I don't know.
I would predict in 10 years when it'll get knocked down and it'll turn into some huge townhouse complex.
It's fate.
Yeah,
I would assume. Yeah, it's definitely going to be homes.
Yeah,
they'll sell it to builders. Yes, they'll pay anything for land. That's what I'm guessing.
But yeah, I wonder what kind of like accoutrements it's going to have that's going to like set it apart from the other new stadium.
Yeah,
course of time, by the way, the Landover area.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've built up a lot of nice stuff. There's Wegmans and there's all these restaurants and stuff. But they lost Landover Mall.
Yeah.
They lost the Capitol Center.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Landover Mall wasn't a big loss.
I mean, just the cornerstones of my youth, JP. I spent so much time at Landover Mall and
Capitol
Center.
Just because we went there a lot
Center.
When we were kids, it doesn't mean
I'm
it was
just
a
saying.
Great mall.
Yeah. It's progress. Yeah. Sometimes progress isn't always progress.
Right.
No, but think about it. Like, SoFi, what do you think about when you think about SoFi? When you think about it from afar?
Modern,
it's ultra modern. Those huge video screens inside
go all the way around the stadium. There'll be something similar to that.
With Dallas, I think about, and I don't know if the other stadiums have it, but they probably have something similar. How they have all these restaurants where the players run through or run by and all that on the field level. I don't know. I just can't wait to see.
Expect a monstrosity like Jerry World. I mean, that holds like 100,000 people. I think
thing was like a $2 billion stadium, right? This is three. Now, it's inflation. Everything's more expensive. Construction costs are very, much higher now. So who knows? But Cakes, I mean, just the staggering price alone tells you this is going to be a real
ultra state-of-the-art, cutting-edge
stadium.
Of course.
Remember, we spent a little time talking about an article about Dan Snyder being miserable that the team was winning.
Good.
This is going to make him even more miserable. If you read these articles, he began discussing moving the team in 2008.
Right. So 17 years ago.
Dude, he's a loser.
Yeah, he's a life.
He's
now,
a freaking
I was
going to
say he's a life loser. He's a winner because he got $6 billion for the franchise.
Yeah.
But that just further reinforces that the NFL is idiot-proof if a buffoon like Dan Snyder can profit that amount off of an NFL team.
But again, it tells you, 2008, we're in 2025.
Right.
How long we've been talking about moving them out of FedEx.
Mm-hmm.
We did the first ever show from FedEx.
Yep.
We had
was it 1990?
Paul Tagliabue joined us.
96, 97? Mm-hmm.
I think it was 97.
John Kent Cook. Bunch of NFL executives were there.
Tags was the commish.
Yep, it was.
And about a decade later, people said, "We're sick of this place. It's a dump."
I wish we had audio. Valdez might be able to unearth audio. Like, I'm sure we were like wow, look at how amazing this new stadium is. Like, yeah. We're just awed by it.
I always thought it was fine. I didn't think it was anything special. I mean, I'd go there, and obviously I don't think there's anything special about it. I don't even think it has any charm. But I always basically enjoyed my time there.
I went to two games last year. It was fine.
I like the club level. You know, when that first
came
out.
Now, the parking situation, not great. It may be worse at the new spot.
Yeah, who knows?
The traffic situation, not great. People don't expect it to be great here.
But you're a Metro guy, so you don't care. You'll be taking the Metro down.
Mm-hmm. Depending. I'm not a big Metro guy when you got to, like, take the red and then get on the yellow. Oh, yeah.
Switching trains, you know? Not a fan.
I'm not a huge fan of that.
I'm not a fan of riding
on the... If it's simply, like,
period.
Red line, I'm cool.
What do you, Drabby, what do you guys have special at your stadium?
Yeah, Lumen Field.
Lumen Field?
I'm sorry, Allegiant like Stadium, because you're a Raiders guy now.
That makes it unique.
We pipe in crowd noise. Nothing really, other than the fact that the way they built it, the architecture keeps in the crowd noise or bounces off the top.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're going to see with the Commanders is the clear, transparent roof, most likely.
Why do you say that?
Well, so they let this light in so you don't feel like you're inside a dome, mm-hmm. and but it also keeps out all the elements. That's what U.S. Bank has. That's what Allegiant has. That's what SoFi has. That seems to be the current trend.
Will it be retractable or is it just closed?
No, remember I put you guys onto that, these teams never open the roofs anymore, so they're kind of out of date.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like a passe thing. It just adds to the cost.
It's much more expensive. So that seems to be the case. It's a bygone era.
I would say like a retractable roof would be nice for like a September or October home game. If you want to close it come November and December when the weather turns, fine. But like mid-September.
September, October,
like,
yeah. You want to be outside.
Roof should be opened. Like,
yeah,
let's,
but if it's translucent,
let's let the real light in.
If the real light is coming in, that might mitigate some of that.
Just trying to get more vitamin D, EB.
Yeah.
Just
cakes are your windows guy or an air conditioning guy?
Oh, I'm clearly an air conditioner guy. Look at my face. Look at my eyes leaking. Of course I'm an AC guy.
Right.
This is
all
what
right.
drops in this morning.
Coming up next, we're going to get in the NFL draft and the drop of Shedeur Sanders to the fifth round and how Mel Kiper handled it or didn't handle it. We'll tackle that next here on the Junkies. So I'm sure you guys spent a lot of time talking about Shedeur Sanders sliding out of the first round on Friday's show.
Not as much as you
really.
Think, but I mean.
It was the biggest story probably in the sports world on Friday.
Well, I think that they, honestly, I think they overhyped it a little bit. I almost thought it was embarrassing. I felt bad for him. I'm a Shedeur guy. I like him. I didn't think it was like, they never even talk about Cam Ward. Like,
right.
it mitigated all
no,
the other
was,
stuff.
Like I said, it was the top story. I mean,
yeah, I think they were wrong.
Well,
I think they were wrong in the way they
covered it. SportsCenter and I watch, you know, NFL Network. It was the biggest story. And then on Friday during the draft, which is second round and third round, it was by far the biggest story. And then on Saturday, when the draft continues in the fourth round and he doesn't even get drafted in the fourth round and finally gets selected in the fifth round, it was the biggest story. Mel Kiper was his biggest backer.
That was his guy.
I thought he
actually
rated. He was embarrassed.
He embarrassed himself.
He rated Shedeur over Cam Ward, the number one pick in the draft.
Right.
And here's what he said about the whole slide to the fifth round.
For Deion Sanders and Shedeur Sanders, all I can say is I think it's disgusting. I don't understand what the heck's going on with this. Fifth player on my board. It's never happened before in 47 years where a player that high has dropped this far into the fourth round. A quarterback that's sitting there in round four of other quarterbacks being taken who aren't as good as Shedeur, aren't even close, in my opinion, in terms of accuracy, toughness. Arm strength is certainly more than good enough. I don't see, outside of not being the rocket arm and the 4.6 speed and the big frame, the 6'3", 230-pound frame, what is he lacking? Somebody's going to have to explain that one to me. Fourth round, Kirk Cousins went. Fourth round, Dak Prescott went. Worked out pretty good for them. It's just that Shedeur was projected a lot higher than they were. That's why we're having this discussion.
So he used the word disgusting. How would you describe his fall to the fifth round?
I felt it was too bad. I felt bad for him.
It was shocking. I wasn't shocked that he fell out of the first round. Uh-huh. And I thought maybe second round. Once he got to the fourth, and that was kind of shocking to me. And then finally at the fifth.
Well, clearly they were sending a message.
If you had to come up
sort.
With one word to describe it, he used disgusting.
Uh-huh.
I would just say blackballed. because I do buy the black ball theory. Now, some of that's on him.
I just don't know if I buy it.
You think it's all because of ability?
No,
I think it's a combo.
You heard reports about him going in like with Brian Daboll and him not knowing. Like they basically gave him an assignment. Like, you got to learn this about the offense, X, Y, Z. He came in unprepared. Like, you're going, it's like going into a job interview wearing a tank top and jorts.
I think it was a combo. Like,
it was a combo.
Teams are turned off. They didn't want the circus. They didn't want the whole specter of Deion Sanders.
He's got Deion as his agent, apparently. I mean,
so teams just said, thanks, but no thanks. We're not interested.
Yeah.
I mean,
Tyler Shuck got drafted ahead of him.
I don't think he was blackballed at all.
I like Shuck.
Tyler Shuck drafted ahead of him. Come on.
Look, if he goes into Cleveland and he wins the job and becomes a serviceable NFL starter, then all those teams, they'll have egg on their face for passing on him multiple times.
I didn't do a background check on Tyler Shuck, but I heard one of these experts say, and maybe it was Mel Kiper, that nobody who's been drafted at his age has ever thrived in the NFL.
Todd McShay, who's pretty plugged in, said that at least two of Shador's interviews that he learned from personnel people that were high-ranking officials with the teams, he said the interviews were horrible. They went horribly.
Is there any breaking news?
Right.
Nothing breaking, but I'm certain. I read a couple people are like, you know, Shador is in play at number three. Shador's not in play at three. Shador's not in play with the New York Giants, as far as I'm told. Shador didn't have a great interview with Brian Daboll in a private visit. An install package came in. The preparation wasn't there for it. Got called out on it. Didn't like that. Brian didn't appreciate him not liking it. I've said this before, and it started at the combine, and a couple days after the combine, I don't like saying report. Like, we don't report anything. I shared information that I got that I know. If I'm getting it, that information people that are in this business that are really great at their job and talking to a lot of the same people I'm talking to, and probably more, I know more. I was surprised it wasn't being talked about, that Shador Sanders, I told you, if you've been following the show from the beginning, I told you there were two personnel people that I spoke to who were in the room during interviews, which means they're key parts of the organization. Let's leave it at that. Two teams drafting in the top 10 with quarterback needs where the interviews did not go well. Not disrespectful, nothing harsh. Just felt like the phrase I've been using, and I think it aptly describes it, we didn't get the sense that Shador cared all that much about what we thought of him.
The counter is, how many times in the NFL have we seen guys with really checkered pasts get drafted?
The counter to that,
I mean, you
is?
Can go back to Lawrence Phillips. Now, I know your counter is going to be they were elite talents.
No, my counter.
That would be
that
the
would
counter.
Not be my counter. My counter would be they didn't have the father is an X factor here that definitely factored in the influence of Deion. It's a shame. It's a specter.
It's a shame. He doesn't have a police blotter history.
No, I agree.
He's brash. He apparently had a party after, spent like $100,000. He's got all this money. The NIL money for all of these players is changing the equation. Yeah. So he may not have the personality that they like, and he may have been horrible in these interviews. I don't know whether this is true or not. I saw on one of these Twitter sites, which is always shaky, that, and this might have been the Daboll interview, they said that he came in there with headphones, with music on, as he's talking to people, with an immense amount of cologne. And then just acted entitled.
I heard that.
So he's entitled. But my point is, there are guys who have beaten girlfriends. They get drafted in the first round.
I know. I understand.
They're guys that have, like, almost...
JP Kuiper Jr. No, but
those are mistakes, too. And I think that this is unfair. I think you should have been drafted higher. There's no question about it. But I think the specter of the father, the combination of everything, clearly there's an entitled... aspect that we're rubbing people the wrong way. Yeah. I think his talent is good. I actually feel bad for him. I really do. All I kept hearing was, the good news is, Drab was arguing me about this, but the good news is that him sliding, he's likely now to go to a better organization, right? I think the Browns organization is a joke. They've got 100 quarterbacks. Stefanski may be a respectable guy, But I just think that's a circus. You're going to have a Gus Heath thing going on there for a year or two. Before
I don't know when he's
going to
get snaps.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
you got just, Flacco ahead of him, you've got Pickett ahead of him, and you got Gabriel who drafted in third round, and then
it's
he gets drafted in the fifth round. And Deshaun Watson. I know he's never going to be
not,
back.
He's
but
not gonna
He's
play,
never going to play with them. Yeah.
It's just a... I couldn't have think of almost a worse situation.
I mean, you don't take any credence to the fact that Rick Neuheisel reported that he picked that Shador picked up a FaceTime video while he was in an NFL meeting with a head coach. Doesn't
I do
that,
put
that
stock
that
into
affects
you?
It. That affects it. I mean,
but my point is, all of these NFL teams, countless times, have overlooked far worse things than the things that are being
that's fine.
Thrown
you know
at
what? They're private
about
Shador.
No, that's why that's
I'm not saying they don't have a right
but
to do
those
it.
Those are mistakes too.
I don't
those
believe it's. Too. I don't believe it's all how he acted in the interview room.
I think it's
I believe
a big
it's a
component.
It's a combination of they don't think he's as good as Mel Kiper thinks he's. He
right.
is.
They're just.
I mean, they just don't
well, exactly
true.
Right.
That's
he
true.
Completed 47% of his passes of 20 yards or more. That sucks. Last year, I'm telling you. Okay, 70% inside 20.
Right.
Who can't do that? I'm telling you, I think it was a combination. A lot of it's what you're talking about, is the interviews and dad. But a lot of these quarterback desperate teams will overlook that if they have a talent.
Sure. And look, if he's any good.
They don't think he's that good.
If he's any good, he went to the perfect spot. Because all he's got to beat out is Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco and an assortment of bums.
Well, Gabriel.
So if he's good as Mel Kiper thinks he is, then he's going to go win that job. But maybe he's not as good as Mel Kiper thinks he is. Yep. Maybe he's pretty mediocre.
But here's what he is.
And that's why every team in the league passed on him multiple times.
For days, they passed on him.
They said, no thanks, not interested, going to move on. You're not worth it. You're not worth
well,
the
then,
third round
and then
pick.
Cleveland,
you're not worth the fourth round pick.
I always think it's funny when two quarterbacks are drafted that closely because
that's too close.
If Cleveland, if Gabriel sucks, and Shador beats him out,
right.
you wasted a third round pick.
The rumor is that Goodell did something. Because they said it looked like a morgue in the in their war room when they announced
I think it was fake news because what I saw afterwards was they used a clip of something from earlier.
Okay, fair enough. But why would you draft the two quarterbacks that close?
Well, because they're the Browns.
Exactly.
They're Browns.
He
went
to a terrible spot.
No,
it
would have
been so much better if Pittsburgh would have just thrown him a bone
and
be a backup.
The owner might have stepped in, and it's genius, by the way, for an owner. He may end up having the number one jersey in the NFL. Like, you can make money off of having Sanders on your team.
Sure.
What happens
if... He's popular.
What happens if Gabriel and Sanders just... They're not good enough, and they're essentially backups. And then the Browns have the worst record in the league next year.
Mm-hmm.
And Arch Manning has this bomb year, right? And they have the number one pick.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll cut some of those guys.
Yeah, they might take Arch Manning
of course.
After they took a third rounder and a fifth rounder.
Mm-hmm.
So I would agree with you.
It's a terrible organization.
The Browns are just stupid.
Here's Mel Kiper arguing. I watched it. He was arguing, and they were trying to get him off the argument with Louis Riddick, with Reese Davis. It was pretty fascinating. Here's Mel Kiper in the midst of his argument.
This is personal.
Has he had
an
off-the-field issue?
No, he has not. Mel, you don't have to sell it to me.
I don't know what we're talking about here.
You're right. Something. You're right. Yes. You're right. But you know what? Mel, the draft has spoken.
That's right. That's the key, Mel. It's not putting a value judgment on whether those
guys are
right or wrong. They did.
Yep.
So now, whenever you're in circumstances in life, whether you like them, whether you don't like them, whether they're fair or whether they're unfair, you might have to deal with them.
That's
and
right.
Now Shador Sanders has to deal with
and everything.
And for whatever reason, whether he played a minute, microscopic percentage, 0%, or it's a legitimate criticism of the way he conducted himself during the draft process, this was the result.
Yeah.
Now he has an opportunity to answer it. I think yelling at the NFL about it is not.
There's not a quarterback. Boomer Esiason was not happy when he was the second round pick.
Tom Brady
was not happy. They dropped. How'd they turn out?
And you know what?
Nobody's arguing that.
My point is that the NFL has been clueless for 50 years when it comes to evaluating quarterback. Clueless. No idea what they're doing in terms of evaluating quarterback. That's proof. There's proof of that.
How many
times? They say we know exactly what we're talking about with quarterbacks. They don't.
But I would say that Mel's been equally as clueless. It's just a very difficult position to project.
Didn't he say he would get out of the business if Jimmy Clausen wasn't a huge hit in the NFL?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe that was attributed directly to Mel Kiper. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
he just looked stupid because of where he had him. He essentially had him as the number one pick in the draft.
Right.
Because he had him above Cam Ward. Mm. And then when he slips to the fifth round, he's super defensive
about it.
Yeah.
I heard a guy was driving around coming back from, I think it was the Nats game on Saturday night that we had on our air, right? One of the national guys from, I don't know, Infinity, whatever that is.
Yeah.
He actually was pretty good. And he did a whole thing about how it's about the fit and where you go and how that is the biggest indicator really of almost anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you could put like Jalen Hurts, it's worked out here, but if you put Jalen Hurts, I don't know, just say Cleveland or put somewhere else, you know, his career
could be totally
different.
True.
That of these quarterbacks, he was making the argument, he thinks Milroe, who might have the least amount of arm talent and all of that, might be in the best situation long term where he was selected, and he just gave all these different examples of guys succeeding or failing. You know, at least 50% of it has to do with the fit, where they're at, who they have around them, who's their quarterback guru, who's their receiving core, who's their offensive line.
A lot of factors.
How stable is their organization?
Look, if Shador is really good and he has the metal to go through it, the cream rises to the top. It's going to take him a while to get through because he's not going to get many reps if they go the traditional route and Pickett and Flacco or even if he, you know, are 1-2 and he's the third string guy.
I would assume Flacco is going to be there just because
they might have to
he's
cut
a veteran.
Pickett.
But you can't keep Flacco, Pickett, Sanders, and Gabriel.
Didn't they give Pickett the most money?
I think Pickett's the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Let's wait and see.
What a cluster it is.
Let's wait and see.
I mean, that's why I'm saying he went to a terrible situation. You almost couldn't imagine a worse situation. It'd be better off going behind the league MVP.
Just beat out Kenny Pickett. That's your job. Just beat him out.
Yeah, but if he has a bunch of G'd up money,
when's he going to get reps?
Less likely.
When's he going to get reps?
So the Browns moved up in front of the Eagles, who are going to take him. You think he'd be better off with the Eagles sitting behind Jalen Hurts and never having a chance to play?
Well, just maybe Jalen might get hurt. I think where he is right now is a disaster. You'll be with a better team when you get an opportunity. At some point, he'll get an opportunity somewhere. Yeah, you know, maybe the Cowboys would have been a better situation.
But he may get an opportunity here. He's just, look. Humility.
I just think it's a terrible situation.
He may learn his lesson on his persona, or maybe he doesn't, because I'm telling you, he's going to have one of the top selling jerseys in the NFL. He's that popular, and they're probably going to make money, the Cleveland Browns, by drafting him.
Maybe you're right, but I would never be in a rush to buy a Cleveland Browns jersey.
That's not even an attractive jersey.
All right, coming up next, we're going to tackle
a Brown jersey?
The Commanders' draft choices, what they did in the second round, in the later rounds, what you thought of it. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies on the Fan.